And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up and do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. They shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I want to preach tonight about substitute worship. Substitute worship. You know why people get all upset when we start praising God? Because they don't understand. Because they don't know the joy. Because they fear to worship God in spirit and truth, like the Word of God says. But the promise of God to this man before he did what he did was, I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that is in thy soul, and all thy soul desireth, and thou shalt be king over Israel. It shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and give Israel unto thee. You may be seated. Well, the situation is exactly this. God's promises are yea and amen to them that believe. It said the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. The promises of God do not belong to everybody. Contrary to common thought, the promises of God are not inherited by just anyone. The promises of God are yea and amen. That means they come to pass as it is written. By whom? By those who believe God and to those who believe God. But a man or a woman who cannot grasp in their mind faith enough to believe the promise of God shall always and forever be without the blessing of God. Because the promise of God brings the blessing of God. But the promise of God can only be received by the believing heart. Amen. Fear shackles men and women. Fear has manacles that will tie you so tightly you can't move your mind. You can't move your heart. You can't move your thinking. You can't move your will. You can't move your spiritual hands or feet. Amen. Fear will bind you until you cannot believe the promise of God. One of the direst enemies against the Spirit and the promise of God is fear. Amen. You know why folks don't worship God? They're afraid to worship God. They're afraid of what someone will say. They're afraid of what someone will think. They're afraid of what's going to happen to them. Amazingly enough, the devil plants in their minds the treachery of substitute worship, which folks are not afraid to engage in. They don't mind engaging in worship that is idolatrous, unbelieving, spiritually disagreeable, absolutely ungodly. Men and women give themselves constantly to religious order and to religious tradition that cannot be acceptable to God in any measure. There isn't any way the worship of this age in the average nominal church can please God. The spiritless, effortless, quiet, unassuming, supposed worship that people give to God is not worship at all. The Bible says to worship the Lord with a loud voice. The Bible said to lift up your hands and worship the Lord. The Scripture says, I would that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. But you can't lift your hands if you doubt God. There's something diametrically opposed to worship in fear and doubt and unbelief. When doubt and unbelief has you shackled, you can't lift your hands up. You don't want to lift up your hands. You don't want to worship God with liberty and freedom. As a matter of fact, you don't want anyone else to either. Amen. Let's all say praise the Lord. It would be better for you if we all did what you do. But I want to tell you something. There are some folks who have overcome fear. Fear of men. Fear of things. Amen. And fear of the unknown. If you're going to worship God, you've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is not a man that He should lie. The Bible said God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You've got to get in a realm of the spirit in order to worship God. You can say words to God all day long, but until you get into a realm of the spirit and a dimension of the Holy Ghost, you're not worshiping God at all. Amen. The devil has always been absolutely strict at getting folks to accept the counterfeit religion. People are always willing to take the counterfeit and leave the real alone. There's something about the real that sometimes seems crude. A diamond in the rough, but a diamond sure enough. Folks sometimes pass over the gold because they don't like the ore. Sometimes people pass the gold because they don't like the fire it takes to get it out of the rock. People let the glorious things of God go because they don't understand why we act like in the flesh. Why we do what we do. Shout like we shout. Sing like we sing. But let me tell you about the soul set free. The man who's been delivered from the shackles of fear and doubt and unbelief finds a glorious liberty in the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Liberty from doubt. Liberty from fear. Liberty from the unknown, the things that keep you constantly on edge. You can lose your fear of those things and walk with God. It is impossible for you to walk with God and to trust God and fear at the same time. It's impossible for you to lean on Him, depend on Him, and to have a doubt in your mind. That's why so many folks take their problems to every place but God. That's why so many people give their needs to the doctor, the psychiatrist, a bottle of Anacin, or a few pills of some nature that either get them a little slowed down or a little speeded up or whatever. You know why folks do that? Because they can't trust God. They fear. They're afraid. The doctor says they've got something and they are scared to death. They feel something, a lump, a bump, a knot, or something, and the devil tells them that's cancer. They couldn't trust God if they needed to. Couldn't trust God if they had to. The first thing He does is plant doubt in their mind through the mouth of men. That's why I believe it's better to trust in God than in men. It's better to put your trust in God than in a man. Hallelujah. People believe everything the doctor says. Can't believe a thing God says. The Word of God says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they've committed sin, it shall be forgiven them. I'll take the Word of God, friend. I believe what that Bible says. I know that God can make a way where there is no way. He controls. Hallelujah! If He can lead the geese through the pathless air and chart the path for the white whale in the sea where there is no road, if God can bring the salmon up the river in the spring, and if God can cause the robins to go back north when it's summertime again, if God can lead the crane from one space in the north to the very same spot in the south year after year after year without a compass and without a guide, then God can lead the heart of man from the cradle to the grave. Hallelujah! One songwriter said, I've got the Lord and that's enough. But I want to tell you what the devil will do. He'd like to substitute real confidence in God and give you a hocus-pocus religion to salve your conscience and send you to hell. But I'm preaching tonight that the power of God and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost is the only fulfilled scriptural plan for worship. Hallelujah! The heathen worship their gods. The gods of sound and music, country music, rock music, all kinds of dancing and carrying on. They're doing all they can do tonight to influence the people that come under the sound of their spell. People will jog all night long to the sound of rhythms and words they don't understand, but come into the presence of the Lord and close their mouths and never say a word. I want to illustrate tonight what I'm saying by what Jeroboam did. Chosen by God Almighty to be the king over all of Israel. Instead of the kingdom dividing, it could have been brought back together. Jeroboam could have served God and walked with God. The promises of God were there. God said, I'll take care of you. God said, I'll walk with you. The Lord said, I won't leave you alone. The Lord said, I'm going to be with you in the heat and in the rain, in the cold and in the summer. I'm going to walk beside you. You don't have to worry, Jeroboam. You don't have to go fight for Israel. You don't have to go steal it from someone. You don't have to usurp a throne. I'm anointing you to be the king over all of Israel, and I'm going to give it to you. God's always in the giving business. He wants to give good gifts to his children. The Bible said if an earthly father knows how to give gifts to his children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to them that ask him? God's got gifts for you. God's got renewing for you. God's got dimension in the Spirit for you that you've never seen. God's got places in his love that you can go, grow, live, abide, that you've never even been in close to yet. But you know what the devil will do? He'll come into a service like this. He'll come into your home. He'll come on the job. He's not ashamed and he's not afraid of your boss. And he'll stand around and talk with you all afternoon, speak to you all night long, get you to lose a consecration. Some of you are going to lose your soul anyhow. I've already given some of you up to the devil. You say, Brother Hanby, I know I've been cold for years. I know it and I've given you up. Because the Holy Ghost is going to give souls 10 to 1 to take your place to walk with God. You say, Brother Hanby, don't you want to preach to me? Uh-uh, not no more. I preach to you till my lungs are sore. I'm preaching tonight that everybody that wants to walk with God needs to get with a program and get what God's got for you. If you don't want to, just pack on up and get on out. You know why? Because you are of the first order of your father, the devil. Oh no, I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost right now. I can eat your spirit so fine it won't even look like powder when the wind hits it. I'm going to tell you one more thing about the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It'll kill your pride. It'll kill your ego. It'll eat away everything. And I'll tell you what, and if the Word of God is not preached, it isn't long before a substitute worship slips into a church and everybody waits for the music to tune up to the right tune. You know why I've sat on this bench tonight and let this thing rock along in a little pace? Because I'm not willing to stand up here and lead you in cheer after cheer. Thank God I'm not going to do it. Not now and not tomorrow. Amen. The devil would like to woo us away from a deep private consecration with God and get us in a little humdrum and just spook us until we think that everything's all right. And when the Holy Ghost moves and somebody shouts, we tighten up like somebody's got a gun in our back. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And again, I'm going to tell you, the promises of God can lay in your Bible like the dew on the morning grass. The promises of God can hang in the Bible just like clothes on a dresser shelf. But I want you to know that they're going to stay there and rot. The dew's going to dry up with the morning sun unless you get out there and believe God and pick them up and take advantage of the Word of God that's preached. Unless you get in your heart the things that are laid on your soul, it can pass you by and you can be no better for it. But if you're willing to say, Lord, don't pass me by. I want the promises of God. I don't want to substitute religion. I don't want to substitute shout. I don't want to substitute joy. I don't want to say joy with my mouth and frown with my lips. I want the joy of the Holy Ghost to live in my heart. I want to be the vessel of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I wouldn't be a church member of an average church in this city or anybody's town for all the money in Fort Worth. Because people that just go to church, sit around, they haven't only fooled themselves, but they become a part and a parley to the damnation of religion that sends men's souls to hell faster than the drum beats of sin's incest. Religion is one of the most vile arts of the devil to damn the soul. Because hungry men will find something sooner or later. And if there's a substitute religion set up and a substitute worship set up, the devil knows that hungry men are going to seek. And if there were no substitute, eventually they'd find truth. But if he can put one in Dan and one in Beersheba, just like Jeroboam did, if he can set up an idol down here and an idol over here, and an idol over there and an idol over there, the hungry and the thirsty come and say, I want God. He says, that's God. People on hearing that say, well, I've got it. I've got what I need. I know what I need to know. I've been where I need to be, and I'm saved. No matter what, everything's all right. That's not true. That's the devil's lie. He lied to you. He didn't tell you the truth. The promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. People are afraid. Afraid to believe the promises of God. Nominal people come into a Pentecostal church, hear the singing and the shouting, love the joy and the refreshing, get all excited about everything, and then get scared to death because we dance, talk in tongues. They think that's all crazy. That's not all crazy. That's what the Word of God says. Yea and amen to them that believe. Hallelujah. We're not crazy, not near as crazy as you might think we are. We found joy, peace, the things the world's longing for, we found in God. We found out there's no place in the Bible that says sit around your mouth shut and wait for the next freight train to come by to blow a whistle to scare you in church so you at least move. There's nothing like that in the Bible. There's no place in the Bible that says just to sit around and be quiet and don't do anything. The Bible says be still and know that I'm God. You know what that means? God's saying hold still long enough for me to deal with you. Quit doing what you're doing so you can start doing what I'm doing. That's what God wants you to do. That don't mean sit off in the corner of a church somewhere and fold your arms and not do anything. God wants His people to be valiant in fight. The Bible says that they shall be great, they shall be mighty, and shall do exploits. The people of God in this day, hallelujah, the people of God in this day are the people that can believe without fear the promises of God. Hallelujah. I refuse for the devil to put my back to the wall. I refuse for the devil to steal away the blessing and the promise of God from me. I refuse to believe what the devil says. The devil says this is not going to work. The devil says there's no future. The devil says, and he says and says. Everybody considers what he says. That's the first fallacy. Why pay him any mind? Why listen to what he's got to say? Some of you sinners in here tonight that are good church members, you need to shake your heart loose. You know that the Holy Ghost is real. You've sat around Pentecostal circles long enough, been around Pentecostal families long enough to know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not some idiot's dream. There's a power in the Holy Spirit that can change and make your life over again. You're hanging on to a dead dream of some formality that was hatched in the heart of a man and not in God's mind. You've got to substitute worship. The Bible says, clap your hands, O ye people. Shout with the voice of triumph. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The Bible said they lifted up their voice with one accord and prayed and said, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. The soul of the average man or woman wears a ball and chain. The heart of the average person wears wrist chains and manacles. They're restricted, retarded, spiritually withheld, all because they believed what the devil had to say and accepted a substitute for the real and the true power of God. I'm preaching in this building tonight that there's a real experience in repentance. No question about that. But you need to be baptized in water in the name of the Lord or you're not going to be ready to meet Him. Baptism in water is only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your preacher lied to you when he told you it wasn't anything to do with salvation. The Word of God said it is for the remission of sin. The Bible said, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You say, I think it's just following Jesus' example. That's not what the Bible said. The foundation text of the church was repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You say, but my grandma was a good woman. Yes, and you're alive and listening to the truth today. And the devil's smart enough to know that he's not going to ward everybody away from seeking God, because it's innate in men and women to seek after God. It's that lonely something inside of them that needs God, wants to find God. And so they're going to look, they're going to search, they're going to wander about, they're going to reach, they're going to feel after God. Something in man is going to do that. The hardest man in this city is going to feel and reach after God. The hardest woman, the harlots on the street, the drunkards at the bar. Something in them cries out. They can get just so many booze or turn so many tricks in a night. And it's not long until the emptiness of their soul absolutely tears them in two. And they wonder what they're going to do tomorrow. Where they're going to be next week. How can they live through it? Suicide, drugs, alcohol, all of that is a part of the devil's religion. People turn to it because they're hungry for God and can't find Him. You know why they don't find Him? It's not because God isn't there. Most of the time it's because the devil has managed to run interference in a clergy garment or to throw out some block in a liturgical tune. And before they ever fall at the foot of Christ and His cross, they are swallowed into some kind of a substitute worship and become comfortable in a Christian society without God. Some of you in this building tonight say, preacher, you just run me off. If I can't save you, I just will too. You say, you're crude, worse than that. Hell is cruder than that. Fire that never stops. Devils that never stop dancing. People that never stop screaming. Brimstone that never cools down. Eternity that never ends. A God that doesn't listen. A Christ that never visits the halls of that infernal place. You say, I'm not sure about it. It's because you don't believe the Word of God. That Word is sure. Every word of prophecy is sure. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. You say, well, if you love me, you'd reach for me. I'm reaching for you. You're going to be lost anyhow. Go on, be lost. If you wanted God, you'd find Him. If you wanted God, you'd seek Him. If you wanted God, you'd search for Him. You haven't got time to serve God. You got time for the best job. You've got time for all kinds of other things. You've got time for family. You've got time for friends, but no time for God. You substituted real old-fashioned repentance and seeking after God for the things you think are going to work. That's what Jeroboam did. He took the promises of God, stuffed them in his hip pocket, and then in his own heart, he carved out his plan for salvation. A prophet met him on the road, a man of God, a man renowned to have been a man of God. Met him on the road, the Jeroboam. You're honored of God. You're blessed. God's going to be with you. Listen to what the Lord says about you, Jeroboam. What does He say? He says you're going to be blessed. God's going to give you the kingdom that He gave to David. Oh, that's an everlasting kingdom. That kingdom is going to bear a Christ someday. Right? God's going to give this kingdom unto you. All you have to do is let this people go up and do worship. That's what the devil can't afford. He can't let you worship God. He don't mind you going to a Pentecostal church as long as you don't start worshiping God. But if you ever start worshiping God in a Pentecostal church, you'll never leave. If you ever get those chains off your arms for one time, you'll never leave. If you ever get your hands in the air one time, you'll never quit. If you ever talk in tongues one time, you'll never want to stop. Amen. You can say what you think it is or is not all day long, but you just let the power of God touch you one time.
You've never been to a ball game. You've never seen a show. You've never heard a song. You've never been to anything like that. One touch of the hand of God. One touch of His reality. One touch of the genuine. I'm talking about the genuine Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the genuine reality there is in God. Hallelujah. You'll never let Him go. Hallelujah. You'll start singing, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus."
Amen.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have it all, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. There's an old song we used to sing, "Take my shoes away, but leave me Jesus. Oh, take my coat away, but leave the Lord." I don't know who sung that or who wrote it, but I want to tell you one thing. From the heart of somebody that had had a genuine experience, the things of this earth don't mean anything anymore. It doesn't matter what people think anymore. A man that's free is free indeed. The Bible said, "Whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed." Hallelujah! 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 The shackles are broken. The fear is gone. You can trust Him again. You can believe the Word of God. True and honest religion can find a desperate need. It isn't a sense for panic. It's not a time for a display of shock and emotion that God will let you fall into such a bind. To the man and the woman that knows and understands the promises of God, a crisis simply becomes a stepping stone to prove that God one more time is God and that He loves His children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks that are bound by fear can reach for the promises of God and never reach them. Can walk and try to walk with God, but can never get anywhere. They're chained. They're in stocks and bonds, held by a substitute worship that will absolutely leave you desperate and will leave you lonely of the presence of God. What you need to do tonight is, for the first time in all of your life, if you haven't ever worshipped God, you need to worship Him. I challenge you in this building tonight, regardless of what you think of anybody else or what anyone else does. What do you think would happen to you if for the first time in your life you stuck your hand straight on up into the blue heaven and said, "Jesus Christ, I don't know what life is all about and I don't know what things are all about, but I know one thing, I want You more than I want anything in this world. Take this whole world, but Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Make me over new again, forgive my sins, and fill me with Your Spirit." You know what would happen to you? You'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Saul of Tarsus thought he was doing God a favor, putting all the Christians to death, binding them, casting them into prison. He comes down the road, and the light from God shines on him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was worshiping God. He thought he was doing the right thing by binding these Christians and putting them in jail. Selling these children. Getting rid of these heretics. Thought he was doing God a favor. Come to find out, God wanted him to be one of them. And the beatings he gave to other people, he got. And the stonings he'd given to other people, he got. And the problems he'd caused other folks, he'd gotten. If he'd had any sense, he'd have stopped and said, "Now look, Lord, I want to tell You something. I don't mind being one of those Christians, but I'd just as soon I didn't have to go through all of the stuff I've put them through." If he'd had any sense, he'd said, "Lord, I don't mind being Your servant, but I want to belong to a church where they don't make so much noise." He said, "Lord, I don't mind being a Christian, but I don't want to talk in tongues." No, he didn't say that. He just gave God his heart, life, soul, body, mind. He said, "I surrendered all." He said, "I counted it all as lost that I might gain Christ." Counted what? All as lost. Everything. I gave Him my fear, I gave Him my loves, I gave Him my desires, gave Him my education, gave Him my will, gave Him my goals,
gave him my ambitions. I gave him all of my heart. I surrendered it all to him.
God made him the greatest preacher that ever lived, as far as we know, in the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
A man that comes to God with reservations and said, I want to serve you, Lord, but I've got a few things here in my heart. People that come to God and say, I don't mind living a holiness life, but there's one or two things I cannot do. Down the road somewhere, the devil's going to take them, drag them out, and destroy their soul. Because he's already got a crack in the wall. He's already got a wedge in their heart. He's already got a hole in the dike. A man that doesn't surrender everything to God, he can't have God. If you're going to serve the Lord, you can't serve man. If you're going to serve mammon, you can't serve God. You've got to make up your mind. Are you going to serve God with an old-fashioned, all-out, Bible-loving, Holy Ghost, backwoods, sky-blue, sin-killing religion that the Word of God proclaims to be righteousness? Or are you going to listen to the theories of men and go along with the tradition of the time? If I were you, I'd make a change. I'd be baptized in water in Jesus' name. You haven't been baptized until you've been baptized in Jesus' name. You say, I've been baptized in church. I got baptized in the title of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They didn't do anything but get your hair whipped and make you change clothes. You say, I like you less than I did. I don't like the devil either. I'm not preaching at people tonight. I'm preaching at spirits. I'm here to tell you that the devil has damned more souls in Fort Worth, Texas, because people's ears were plugged, arms were shackled, feet were chained. They wanted to serve God, but they couldn't. They wanted to worship God, but they didn't. They wanted to surrender all, but they couldn't find it in their power. I come against every spirit like that in every person in this building tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to be set free by the power of God, to lift up your hands and worship the Lord. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you something. The baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues is in the Bible. Not only that, but it's real. Not only that, it's the birth of the Spirit. Not only that, Jesus said, except to be born of the water of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You said, what about believing? You can't get the Holy Ghost till you do believe. You say, I got saved when I believed. You hadn't believed yet or you'd have the Holy Ghost. Sure you get saved when you believe. The Bible says, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. But you know what the church world has done? It separated the experience in God from the verbal concept of receiving the blessing of God. And they told you, you got saved when you said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not true. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to receive an experience with God. That's what they didn't tell you. I'll tell you whether you've believed or not. If you stand to your feet and lift up your hands and worship God, if you haven't got the Holy Ghost yet, you haven't believed yet. You know how the Lord knows and everybody else knows whether you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you believe, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, everybody wants a substitute for that. You say, that's too hard. It's not hard. It's hard to fool around with God and still be hungry and yet not be thirsty. You're hungry, but you don't want anything to eat. Thirsty, but nothing to drink. Starving, but no food. Weary, but no rest. Anxious, but no response. Needy, but no help. This world is confused. The church world is frustrated. They want God, but don't want to pay the price. They want to serve the Lord, but they don't want to serve Him in the Spirit. They want a God that they can corner, a market that they can sit on, a monopoly on religion. Let me tell you, friends, we've broken the chain. There's something about the apostolic experience that you can't corner up. You can't put God in a computer. You can't put him under a magnifying glass. You can't get God in a telescope. I'm going to tell you, he's bigger than the world. He's bigger than your world. Hallelujah. He's higher than the heavens, deeper than the sea, wider than the oceans, taller than a tree. I want to tell you what God is. God is everywhere. Everywhere present. All things knowledgeable. Hallelujah. Omnipresent. Omniscient. Almighty God. You can't bottle him up. Amen. You can't detail God. You can't outline the Spirit. If you want God, you've just got to come just as you are, without one plea, without one argument. Come on with your chains and your shackles. Come on with your manacles. Come on to God just as you are and say, God, I know I need something else. I need something more. Hallelujah. You want to know why these people in this building have their hands up? That's it, Dick Frozen. Come on. That's the way to get what you need from God. My God, you waited a long time. But if you really want him, you can be set free. You don't have to be bound. That's the devil's vice. Ashamed of it. I've got God and I'm thankful for it. You say you run him off. I ain't running nobody off. Hallelujah. I've got joy and I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I found truth and I know I've got it. I know I've got it. I know I've got it. Got it in my heart. Got it in my mind. Got it in the spirit. Woo! I got it in my feet. I got it in my hands. When I got God, he got me. Woo! You can have this man-made religion if you want it. You can take all the pleasures of the world and put them in one bottle. But give me one touch of the Holy Ghost.